So, what would it look like to be filled with the Holy Spirit? And what would it feel like? What does it feel like to be filled with the Holy Spirit? And how do we know when we are filled with the Holy Spirit? A lot of questions. We talked about the fact that, like Jesus, the Holy Spirit is a being, not an it. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person of the Trinity. And that Jesus told his disciples, I will be with you until the end of time, which, of course, we know there isn't. Jesus will be with us always in the form of the Holy Spirit. But the disciples saw Jesus crucified and then come back again and then leave again. And he walked with folks for 40 days after his death here on earth. And he appeared to hundreds of people before returning to heaven. But before he did, he told them clearly that he would send another. Of course, they didn't know what this was going to look like. He sent the Holy Spirit. He sent the Advocate. The Holy Spirit has other names, too. We learned last week that another word for Holy Spirit is the combination of breath and wind and spirit and fire. It's ruach, which is just fun to say. So we learned that the Holy Spirit's, one of the names is ruach. And we know that when we were created, we were given free will. And we can choose to be in a relationship with ruach. We can choose to accept or not accept the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us. And we can choose how much we want the Holy Spirit to fill us. My daughter, Hannah, has always had an independent spirit. When she was little, she would push me away when I'd try to help her do something, and she'd say, no, me do it. She didn't want my help. Does this sound familiar? You got kids like this? So as a result, she did get dressed by herself, but sometimes the shoes were on the wrong feet, or the pants were on the head, or you know, the shirt was on backwards or inside out or whatever. But then there were, from time to time, this was her trying to say, no, you can't feed me. I will feed myself. But then there were those magical times when she allowed me to guide her or to help her. And not necessarily do it for her, but see, in guiding her, I gave her the power and the guidance to do more than she could by herself. And she was able to receive the gift of my help. Last week we talked about a pinwheel. And besides looking pretty, the pinwheel's purpose is to flow. And just like us, the pinwheel can be filled with what gives it its purpose. We can be filled with the Holy Spirit. And when the pinwheel allows the air to move through it, it fulfills its purpose. But we also talked about the fact that if the pinwheel goes farther away from its source, it's not as able to do what it was meant to do. So the first step is to receive the Holy Spirit. So how do we receive the Holy Spirit? Well, we get a really good example of this in the New Testament. Peter says to them, to the disciples, repent. That means acknowledge where you fall short, and then ask God to forgive you and help you. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And then he goes on to say, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. So by repenting and through baptism, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But then we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So how do we become filled with the Holy Spirit? Okay, so here's a vase. And let's say that I want to remove all of the air from this vase. All right, so Naomi is going to work on removing all of the air from the vase. That's your job. Aren't you glad you came today? So we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit fills us up by filling up the environment around us, the environment that is filled with worship and with song and with fellow believers and with those who are seeking God. And we can fill ourselves with the Holy Spirit as well. We can fill ourselves with the Holy Spirit and meet Ruach face to face. Did you remove the air yet? What's that? Do you want to try sucking all the air out?
No, I'm okay. I might pass out or something.
Okay. All right, so we want to remove the air from the vase. Kind of like we want to remove, let's say, sin and the challenges that fall along with sin from our lives. Okay, we can do this, right? You want to see me remove the air from this vase? You ready for this? So likewise, when we fill ourselves with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit then fills us and makes us filled with the things that God intends for us. Now, there's a challenge with that. Okay, so let's say that we're filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay. We have to continue being filled with the Holy Spirit, right? We don't want to not be filled with the Holy Spirit. But the challenge is, you know, what happens when we start filling ourselves with other things? So, being filled with the Holy Spirit also means that we have to continue wanting to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we're not going to want to be filled with other things because it's going to feel right. So one of God's greatest gifts to us is the filling of the Holy Spirit, and it provides a lifeline from us to God. to which he can give us his other wonderful gifts. The Holy Spirit gives Christian supernatural power. Da-dun, da-dun. That was Christian super cape. It was way cuter in my head. So we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit because with it comes supernatural power and understanding and eternal life. And it's important to know how to receive the Holy Spirit. Do you remember? By repenting and through baptism. And then how to stir up the Holy Spirit and how to be assured that we have the Holy Spirit. So David, King David in the Old Testament, had this impassioned prayer of repentance. In Psalm 51:11, he pleaded with God. He said, "Do not take your Holy Spirit from me." Okay, so he was feeling it, but he was also feeling like other things were pulling the Holy Spirit out of his life. So he, what did he do? He went back to God and he prayed and he repented so that he could be filled up once again with the Holy Spirit. Paul encourages us to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and love and sound mind. Now, physically, yes, we can lay hands on people. That's a very old United Methodist practice. Or we can do it by encouragement and caring for others. So what are some evidences of the Holy Spirit? How do we know that we have the Holy Spirit or that someone has the Holy Spirit? Well, the Bible lists many things that the Holy Spirit enables us to do. Paul wrote that through regular prayer and study of the Bible, the Spirit helps us grow to understand God's plan and our part in it. So that's one of the things that happens when the Holy Spirit fills us. Also, God's laws are written on our heart and in our minds. It helps us internalize God's way of life, and it helps us, it enables us to transform and change our minds. I was listening the other day to a Christian radio station, and there was a gentleman there who had gone through a huge transformation in his life. He had been to prison, there were drugs involved, there was theft, all sorts of things in his life. And he had this transformation. And he said, "The cool thing about it is that now that I'm a Christian and I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, I can steal anything I want and I can take all the drugs that I want. But the thing is, I don't want to. The Holy Spirit filling me makes me not want to do any of those things." So, the Holy Spirit gives us all these gifts. It gives us the ability to pass out other things that we don't want in us. Paul, in 1 Corinthians 12:8, 8 through 11, gives us a list of some of the gifts that are given. He says, some people, he gives the gift of a message of wisdom. To others, the same Spirit gives a message of knowledge. To others, the same Spirit gives faith. And others, the gift of healing. And to others, the power to do miracles. To others, he gives the ability to prophesy. Yeah, this stuff is going on. And to others, he gives the ability to tell spirits apart. To others, he gives the ability to speak in different languages that they didn't know before. And to still others, he gives the ability to explain what was said in those languages. All the gifts are produced by one and the same Spirit, Ruach. He gives these gifts to each person just as he decides. The cool thing is, we don't all have all the gifts. In fact, there's none of us that have all the gifts. And that's why we come together, as a body of Christ. Now, once in a while, somebody's asked me, what do I need church for? Why do I need to come to church? Well, because together, you come together as a body of Christ. And your gifts and your gifts and my gifts and your gifts all come together to serve God in the best possible way. And we are to recognize and accept and use the gifts of the Spirit. Like the video showed, open the present. You've been given a gift. Open the present and use it. It's not boastful to accept that you have a gift of the Spirit and then use it. So what is that evidence of the Holy Spirit at work, filling us and within us? Paul tells us that if we are filled with the Holy Spirit, there's going to be signs, and you're going to see them. Just like a tree that produces fruit, the evidence is this. The believer will burst forth with love and joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. You know these people. You've seen them. You've talked to them, and you think, what is it that they've got? Because I want some of that. That's the Holy Spirit. It's God's plan for us to repent, to be baptized, to receive His Spirit, and then be transformed in mind to become more and more like Him. By praying for, yielding to, and stirring up the Spirit, we see the spiritual growth that assures us that God's Spirit is working in and through us. Let me end with this illustration. There was a great violinist a long time ago, Niccolò Paganini, and he willed his marvelous violin to Genoa, the city of his birth, and he thought this would be a wonderful gift, a legacy to give them, but only on the condition that the instrument would never be played on again. Now, it was an unfortunate condition because it was made of a peculiar wood, and as long as it was used and handled, it would show little wear, but as soon as it was discarded, it would begin to decay and be worm-eaten. So this exquisite, mellow-toned violin, which is still in a museum, in its case, is broken down and worm-eaten, and it's valueless, except as a relic. The point is, open your gifts. Be used by the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And don't cease, don't ever stop using those gifts that you've been given. Amen.